welcome everyone joining us here tonight on the Kings County Radio Club's Technical Question and Answer Net. I am Roy, AC2GS, and I will be your net control operator for this informal net. I will be your host, and Jason, WF2N, will be your co-host on this exploration into amateur radio technology. The purpose of this net is to provide a platform for discussion and to offer our answers, as well as promote a conversation among all participants of this net. The club maintains an archive of these technical nets on its web pages. Also, we offer original articles and reviews on many topics covered during these technical nets. We also publish technical puzzles for our participants to ponder and as a starting off point to discuss important technical concepts. Tonight's TechNet puzzle is posted on our club website. The link can be found on the front page of our website in orange colored type, but if you would like the simple URL to find it, you can simply type puzzle.kc2rc.com and that will lead you right to the puzzle page. Also, we will be offering a streaming service for those who cannot receive our repeater signal. You just have to point your browser to stream.kc2rc.com. This net is scheduled for the second and fourth Wednesdays of each month. All of this information can also be found on our club website, www.kc2rc.com. Members as well as non-members are welcome to participate, although we do appreciate it when our fellow hams join our club. And as always, an application is readily available on our website. No question is too simple. No question is dumb. All wisdom begins with the asking of questions. If you have a question, it deserves to be answered. Our format tonight will be to ask for participants to check in only if they have questions or comments for this net. Please give us your name, your call sign, and whether you have a question or a comment. The net will then address each question in order. I will try my best to provide an answer, and Jason WF2N will join in as well. If any other listener has any further facts or opinions, they will be free to break in with the word comment, and when recognized, offer their knowledge or experiences to us all. If anyone has any suggestions for future topics of interest on this net, please let us know either here or use my email address, roy@ac2gs.com. And now, I would like to introduce my co-host for this net tonight, Jason WF2N. Good evening, Jason.
Good evening, and good evening to everyone listening.
I'm curious to see what kind of activity we have. It's the day before Thanksgiving, so I'm not expecting surprises. But because of scheduling problems, the 2nd December technical net will be canceled because it's Christmas Day. And the 1st tech net will be canceled January 8th because the club is rescheduling our meeting from January 1st to January 8th. So we already have 2 tech nets that are canceled, and I didn't want to do this one as well, but we'll see what the future holds. This is AC2GS. My name is Roy. I am the net control operator for the Kings County Radio Club's technical net. If anyone has any questions or comments for the technical net, please give us your first name and your call sign. Okay, I was concerned that this might happen. Rather than drone on about some technical subject, I thought I would take the opportunity to remind everyone of a few things that are going on in the club. We have our annual membership dues drive. We're trying to get people to pay their 2020 dues as soon as possible so that we can get that locked down and move on and have a better idea of, you know, what kind of finances we have, what projects we can support and bring forward in 2020. Also, for people who pay up their 2020 dues, we have our annual holiday party this December 4th, Wednesday at 8 o'clock across the street from Methodist Hospital in 501 6th Street between 7th and 8th Avenue called Wesley House in room 6B. And it's a catered affair. We're going to have lots of fun and a lot of people going to be coming down to the club. And admission is free if you've paid your 2020 dues. If not, it's $5 apiece. So we have that. We have all kinds of interesting things planned for the 2020 year. We're going to have a presence at Ham Radio University. I will actually be giving a presentation at Ham Radio University along with Andy W.A. to CDL on test equipment and how it works and how to use it and what it shows people. So that should be interesting. We have the Winter Field Day coming up, which Joseph, the AC2AE, is coordinating, and you can get in touch with him if you're interested in that. And we're talking about practical sessions where we teach each other how to do different technologies, soldering, crimping, kit building, simple antenna design, simple antenna testing. We'll see how that goes. That's all in the air for 2020. And so, you know, dues dollars pay for a lot of the things that we have to shell out to make that a reality. So that's my ramble, hoping that in the ensuing five-odd minutes, a few people will remind themselves that it's the fourth Wednesday of the month and time for the technical net. So once again, I am Roy, AC2GS, asking if anyone has any technical questions or comments for the technical net at this time, to hit that push-to-talk button, give me your first name and your call sign.
Alpha Charlie 2, Alpha Echo. Roy, I don't have a question or a comment, but I just looked up the, the TechNet puzzle. So I'd like to participate later on when you come around to that.
I will pencil you in for the TechNet puzzle. I hope I can have someone give me some kind of a subject, topic, question, answer, statement, what have you, because with the TechNet puzzle, it will be a rather short technical net, but you take what you get now in this life. So, once again, if anyone else has any questions or statements of a technical nature that they would like to bring up tonight, please hit that push-to-talk button and give me your first name and your call sign. Okay, I guess we will jump to the TechNet puzzle for tonight, and maybe after we're done with that, I will ask one more time, if there's anyone with any questions or comments for the technical net. Tonight's TechNet puzzle isn't too difficult. It's a kind of a fictional account. A gentleman by the name of Bob is testing a homebrew transmitter that he built. He notices that the voltage from his power supply drops when he keys the transmitter. Now, should Bob test especially four, and you're given four choices, of what kind of problems a CW signal will give you if your voltage supply is not well regulated. The choices of possible problems with your CW would be A, key clicks, B, chirps, C, overmodulation, and D, parasitic oscillation. One of the problems with this question, obviously, is that most of us are not ardent CW operators. It's difficult learning the code, and we have a few club members who are very good at CW, but most of the rest of us, including myself, are not. I just can't put in the proper time to learn to recognize it. I can send decently, can't really receive. But nevertheless, everyone's kind of heard stories about CW and hopefully knows what key clicks and chirps sound like. So that's the question for tonight. What of those four problems would you suggest Bob to especially look at, seeing that his power supply is not well regulated?
Are we the only two out here? AC2AE.
It's three of us, counting Jason.
Jason, what's going on? WF2N, AC2AE. All right. Should I go or should I wait? Okay, once again, I am totally guessing. And until you mentioned CW in that last transmission or so, I didn't know it was for CW. I should have, but I didn't. So I'm going to just, on a good guesstimation, I'm going to say parasitic oscillation, really without knowing anything about it. But I'm going to say parasitic oscillation for my answer. And with that, I also would like to wish everybody a happy Thanksgiving, too. And back over to Net Control.
Joe, and I wish you and your family a very enjoyable Thanksgiving as well. Jason, you want to get in on the pleasure, or you just want me to go with it?
You know, I'm not sure about this one, Roy. I'm going to stand by and just listen for the answer.
Well, the point about CW is a bunch of points, and when I kind of update the answers, it has some nice illustrations to give you a better idea of what might be going on. You would think CW is sort of a binary type of a process, the keys down or the keys up, so you're thinking that it probably should have square waves, but actually, if you do square waves, what happens is the edges get deeply distorted, and I have a picture that I'm going to load up onto this page, the puzzle page, and that produces what we call clicks. So you have to actually form the CW pulse so that it has a gradual increase and a gradual decline. If it's too sharp, the transitions from nothing to everything produces harmonics and noise and such. And so that's what a key click is. That doesn't have anything to do with voltage potentials. It simply has to do with how you shape the CW envelope. Overmodulation is kind of impossible to have happen in CW because you're not really modulating it per se. It's either all or none. It's shaped a little bit, but you can't over-modulate something that's all or none. You can simulate CW. You can, instead of sending out a carrier, you can transmit an amplitude-modulated tone of, say, 800 hertz and turn it off and on and have that signal simulate a CW signal. And since it's actually amplitude modulated CW and not real CW, you can overmodulate it. But that's not really the case in this thing. Parasitic oscillations is more a factor of the design of the transmitter than the power supply. That's when there are resonant circuits in the box that can resonate parasitically at different frequencies, mix with the transmitter frequency, and that's when you get all these terrible harmonics, like the gentleman on 10 meters who was actually operating CB on 11 meters, but he was producing so many intermodulation distortion harmonics that he was getting his signal heard all the way up in 10 meters. So that's the parasitic oscillation. Chirping is very common when you can't stabilize your voltage supply. What happens is a CW transmitter is basically a glorified oscillator. It just, you key it down, it oscillates, you unkey it, it stops oscillating, it goes back and forth. If it's given a constant voltage load, it oscillates with the same frequency. If your voltage regulation is problematic, as you key down, it can shift its frequency all over the place as it pulls more power. That's where you get what's called the chirp. The chirp is a non-steady tone. If you set your CW to receive it at, say, 400 or 800 hertz, it should be kind of rock solid there. But if the guy transmitting to you is working a oscillator where the voltage is going all over the place, it can go up and down and up and sideways. So the answer is chirp. When you don't have a good voltage regulation on a CW transmitter, your frequency can shift as you're keying down, and that sounds to the guy on the other end of the radio as a chirp. So that's answer B, chirp for tonight.
Okay, so now there was one that you talked, that the one that I had picked, parasitic oscillation. You said that one shows a little different on the oscilloscope. I was looking at a few pictures of it while you were talking. Now, what does it do? Is it showing like a nice, smooth sine wave? Is it like the sine wave is like a little erratic?
It distorts the sine wave in that there are more complicated harmonic tones that are being generated simultaneously. So it's sort of like denting the wave. So rather than have a nice, smooth, say, you know, whatever, 7.1 megahertz carrier signal, it has a little bit to the right, a little bit to the left, it moves around, and it just is noisy and distorted, and it can show up on other frequencies on your receiver.
Is there a way to clean that up? How would you clean that up, narrow it, straighten it out? Would it be capacitors in line, inductors? How would you clean that up?
Both. What's happening is that in the design of the transmitter itself, there are some circuits that are not in the final amplification system, but are close enough to couple with it and resonant to couple with it that causes that intermodulation distortion and such. So what you have to do is either physically shield your final stage from it or place capacitors or little loading coils to detune and decouple those parasitic oscillations from getting into the final circuit. A lot of times you will see linear amplifiers will have loading coils on their grid connections in order to assist in this type of a problem.
I'm looking at some graphs of it right now, and all right, that actually makes a lot of sense. Thank you, Roy.
Anyone else out there who just checked in or has any questions or has any comments or has any topics or has anything to say about key clicks, chirps, overmodulation, or parasitic oscillations, please feel free. Hit that push-to-talk button and give me your first name and your call sign. Okay, well, we'll give it one more last good try. This has not been a good night for nets in general. I was listening a little bit to the Limark computer net. I think that went a whole 15 minutes, so I guess we beat them by 5, so we consider this success. Anyway, if anyone else out there has any questions or comments or topics on technical net tonight, please hit that push-to-talk button, give me your first name, and your call sign.
Roy, I've got a question.
Yeah.
Last night, I was on the radio with a couple of guys down on 146.52, and one of the guys is a newer ham radio operator, or he was a technician class operator who hasn't really played with radio in a while. And he was asking me what the difference was between, you know, sideband and FM and AM and stuff. And, you know, I know the difference and I know how it works, but, you know, it was very difficult for me to explain it to him without, like, showing him, like a little chart. Like, I knew in my head, like, you know, how it worked, that you're suppressing one side. But, like, when I told him that you suppress one side of the carrier, he's like, well, what does that mean? So it's like, how, as a ham radio operator, do I relay that type of information to the new ham operators? And is there, like, I guess QRZ or the ARRL, is there any other, like, sites where I can direct people to get this type of information, aside from, you know, the sites that I just named?
Actually, there is a good place for you to send them. You can send them to www.kingscountyradio.com, because at the end of one of my abridged newsletters was an article called The Usual Suspects, that actually takes apart all the different types of population and has pictures to make it somewhat obvious. Matter of fact, I've included the material from that article, The Usual Suspects, into part of the talk that we're going to give at Ham Radio University on test equipment as a kind of a topic of how spectrum scopes and spectrum analyzers see waveforms. So I don't recall which month the newsletter had The Usual Suspects, but I know for a fact it's up there someplace.
Okay, all right. Well, I'd like to read it tonight, but unfortunately I'll be cooking until about midnight, and then I'll be getting up about 6 o'clock in the morning to start cooking again. But The Usual Suspects, I will definitely remember that. That's actually one of my favorite movies, and I'm actually going to look forward to reading that. All right, that's awesome. Thank you.
Want, I'll send you a copy. If you like it PDF or you like it DocsX, just let me know.
Be better. That would save me a whole bunch of time. And, oh, good. Howard just sent me the menu. Good. This Saturday or Sunday, I'm going to order the food for the party. All right. We are going to have a really good time. All right, good. We are getting from the, just to let you guys know, we are getting from the usual place, our usual eggplant palm, our baked ziti, garlic knots, falafel, and he said, let me think, and a couple of pizzas, a couple of pizza pies. All right, good.
Very good, Joe. Just in case anyone either listening or listening to the archive of this wants to know, there's a bunch of different technologies, modes that we use to transmit on amateur radio. The simplest and the first one was continuous wave. That's just toggling a carrier on and off. There's no real modulation per se, although as you increase the rate, the symbol rates of your transmission and CW, you do produce sidebands because that's the nature of how information works. You can't simply pour a lot of information into something with a negligible bandwidth. The next mode that was very popular was amplitude modulation, which is simply you take a carrier and you put an envelope of an audio frequency over it, and you increase the amplitude to sometimes and decrease it all the way to zero, and so you're modulating the carrier amplitude, and that's amplitude modulation. What can also be done is you can translate the frequency of the carrier. You can increase it and decrease it according to the amplitude of an audio frequency signal. So when you talk, FM modulation will deviate, and that's why we tend to call it frequency deviation, will deviate plus or minus the carrier frequency in the frequency modulated carrier. With amplitude modulation, though, they figured that there were some neat tricks left to them. Amplitude modulation really amounts to three separate signals. You have the carrier signal in the middle. That's the primary signal you're transmitting on. It actually has no inherent information on it. Then you have the two sidebands. You have the higher upper sideband, which is the carrier frequency plus the audio frequency that you're transmitting. And on the other side, you have the lower sideband, which is the carrier frequency minus the audio frequency signal that you're modulating your carrier to. So you have an upper sideband, a lower sideband, and a carrier. Carrier really doesn't have any information in it except what the reference frequency is, but you can put in your own reference frequency. So you can get rid of the carrier. Now you have a suppressed carrier double sideband signal. But they found out that you don't really need both sidebands. One sideband suffices. So you put it through a balanced modulator, which removes one of the sidebands. We tend to remove the lower sideband on 20 and above, and we remove the upper sideband 40 and below, and that gives you single sideband. So that's in a nutshell, but the Usual Suspects has very nice illustrations showing what an amplitude modulated signal looks like, what a double sideband with the carrier removed looks like, and what finally upper sideband and lower sideband look like. So I will somehow inform you of where it might be, maybe post it special to Roy's place. I haven't been doing that lately because I've just been leaving it for the newsletter. But that's my little gist about AM, FM, and single sideband modulation. Any questions out there? Now's the time if you got them. Otherwise, we'll call this a night. But if you have any thoughts about that or any other questions or topics or subjects, just give me your call sign and your first name. Call sign one more time. Sorry, there's a lot of noise on that signal. If you're able to kind of boost your signal or wiggle your antenna in a slightly different direction, and you want to try again, feel free. Sorry, and I'm looking on the input, and I'm getting even less on the input. Sorry, it's not going to be tonight. If you could somehow either raise your power or change the location of your antenna, and not always the location where you can hear a signal is the best for you to transmit your signal, because there is that difference between 146.130 and 146.730 between the input and output frequencies. So even though you may find that this is the best location for you to hear our repeater, it may not necessarily be the best location for you to transmit to our repeater.
I think that's, what is it, K2REY. I'm not sure. Is that K2REY?
It's not Dennis. It's Kevin. KD2TAX.
Welcome, Kevin. Do you have any questions tonight?
Just had a question pertaining to your question. When you get heat on air, you just have the carrier, but you have no modulation. But on sideband, with the key, there is no carrier until you modulate. Is that correct?
Why, when people are tuning up their radios, they do one of two things. They either shift to CW or amplitude modulation and just let the carrier go, or they stay at single sideband and start to croon radio, and therefore put out a signal. So that is quite correct. Single sideband requires an actual audio signal modulation for any output, whereas amplitude modulation or frequency modulation will both just throw empty carriers out.
Thank you very much.
We're here almost every second and fourth Wednesday of the month. The second December session and the first January session will be canceled because of holidays and the rescheduling of our club meetings, but you're always welcome to join and either bring up a topic or ask a question, whatever you are so inclined to do. So thank you very much, Kevin, for your question.
What is a good mobile dual-band antenna for an HD to have in your car?
That kind of begs the question of what type of antenna you're looking for. Are you looking for an antenna that can mount on the hood of your car, something like, say, a magnetic mount? or are you just looking for a decent whip antenna that you can just point the antenna out your window?
Mount, maybe like a tram 11-inch 5, something like that.
Mag mounts are good. They might scratch paint, so don't pull them out and use them on other people's car without asking permission. But magnetic mounts do very well. There's a couple of companies that seem to make most of the high quality products. Diamond and Comet are two major manufacturers of mobile mag mount antennas. And I would just look at the specs. Don't be that concerned about the dB gain. They're kind of high theoretical. They're something that is calculated by marketing departments more than the engineers. QST will never publish a gain rating for antennas. But just stick with the high-quality manufacturers. I would suggest, you know, going to look at the HRO or DX Engineers, and look at what's available for the bands that you're interested in Comet or Diamond. Now, if you don't need a tri-bander, you probably shouldn't spend the money or the effort in having a tri-band antenna. So it depends on what you plan to use it for. If you're only going to use it for UHF or VHF, then you might save a couple of shekels by just with a monobander. But most people tend to buy a dual band 440 and 2 meter antenna.
You saying Comet and Diamond are the two for me to look at out for?
They're reliable companies. They've been in the business for a long time. They as far as I've seen, have quality stuff, and they stand behind their products.
Thank you for your input and your answer. And I just want to say happy Thanksgiving to everybody on the frequency. This is KD2TAS, Kevin, 73. And everybody have a nice event.
Thank you very much, Kevin, and likewise. Have an enjoyable Thanksgiving. Have a good meal. Don't eat too much. But enjoy yourself. And once again, this is Alpha Charlie 2 Golf Sierra Roy, a net control of the Kings County Radio Club Technical Net. If anyone else has any questions or topics that they would like to have addressed tonight, please feel free to hit that push-to-talk button and give us your first name and your call sign. Okay, we'll give it one last time before we drop the curtains down on all this. If you have any questions or topics or comments of a technical nature for the Kings County Radio Club Technical Net, please hit that push-to-talk button, give us your call sign, and your first name. Very well. This net has been brought to you by the Kings County Radio Club. Our club is an ARRL-affiliated club based in Brooklyn, New York. We meet on the first Wednesday of each month. Our next meeting will be December 4th, which will be our annual holiday party. It will be held across the street from Methodist Hospital in room 6B of Wesley House. All members that are paid up for 2020 will have free admission that night. All members will be asked to pay a nominal $5 apiece. We offer a pre-meeting technical question and answer session, much like this technical net, from 7 p.m. to 8 p.m. as time allows. Our regular general meetings start at 8 p.m. and continue until anywhere from 9 p.m. to 10 p.m., depending upon the number of points that are covered. We have a weekly 2-meter club net every Tuesday at 9 p.m. on this repeater, as well as a 10-meter net every Sunday at 11 a.m. on 28.380 megahertz upper sideband. This technical net meets on the second and fourth Wednesdays of each month at 9 p.m. We have a weekly net featuring Yaesu's Fusion Digital Technology every Thursday at 9 p.m. on our club repeater. If you can communicate using Fusion technology, please join in. We offer audio streams of the Fusion Net on the Internet, as well as all audio transmissions on our club repeater at stream.kc2rc.com. Members as well as non-members are welcome to participate, although we do appreciate it when our fellow hams join our club And as always, an application is available on our website. And to get into our Fusion net, you can also use a hotspot. We have, at this point, a YSF and an XLX servers that will link you to our Fusion room. If you would like to contact the host of this technical net, simply address your email to roy@ac2gs.com. We maintain an active website at www.kingscountyradioclub.com or www.kc2rc.com, which offers archives of this technical net, amateur radio news, original articles, and technical forums. Please visit our website and participate. Our website services were generously donated by the local Brooklyn-based web hosting company, Three Aliens Web Hosting, who we would like to thank. As the great philosopher Jimi Hendrix once said, knowledge speaks, but wisdom listens. So try to listen a bit more and talk a bit less. It's time to roll this all up and shut this all down, but we'll be back to do it all over again December 11th. And you're all welcome to join us. Also, as always, want to wish everyone out there a very happy Thanksgiving and a hope that I will be able to meet each and every one of you at our holiday party coming up December 4th. And thanks to all the people that participated tonight, especially Jason WF2N. Without you guys, I would just be talking to myself. So, this is Roy, AC2GS, and I'll be going clear and getting the heck out of here. Have a happy bird, guys. This is Roy, AC2GS, clear.
Great set, Roy. Happy Thanksgiving to you, to Joe, and to everyone else listening. This is WF2N, clear.
Whoever is listening out there, happy Thanksgiving. Roy, especially you, happy Thanksgiving. Jason, WF2N, happy Thanksgiving to you and your family. You guys enjoy, and I'll see you guys next week during the meeting and the party. Can't wait to see you guys and celebrate.